message last week from Pastor Tim. I don't know if I call him necessarily a pastor, but he is a pastor to the body of Christ, and he's definitely a leader. He's a prophetic. He's an uncle, okay. And but anyway, it's a great word. If you weren't here for it, I think most of you know the drill now, how to access videos. And they can do archives, right? Like if it's something from a week or two ago. But that was just last week's message, obviously. Interestingly, I shared a little exhortation in introducing him, and from the Psalms that says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." And we talk and we receive. And even today in the worship, I could just sense the Lord just saying, the situation that is before you is not bigger than your God. In fact, what does the scripture say? Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. But can I tell you something? We kind of look at that like, oh, there's devil out in the world. But sometimes the devil's right in your front yard. You know what I mean? He's weaved his way into your home. He's gotten something. He's presented something to you that would cause you to be bewildered, right? And so what you got to understand is it still doesn't change anything that God is greater. What we have to be careful of is we don't allow the enemy to be magnified. And the only way to combat that is not by trying to fix the problem or just trying to ignore the problem. When you're doing the healing teachings on Wednesday night, we talked about, for a lot of people, they almost treat things and going on in their own life, physically or whatever, is like a snake got in the house, and we just don't go in that room anymore. He's back there. God didn't want you to live that way. Amen. If I told you there's a rattlesnake in the back of the house, yeah, use the bathroom back there. You probably wouldn't go. And we don't want to live our lives bound up. Amen. And we need to, exterminate the snake in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So I just want to share that with you today. And I was looking at that psalm. That, you know, we quote from it all the time. We know that one line really well. But I wanted to read the context for the setup of it, if we could today. And I want to share a couple things with you that I believe are going to help us today as we move forward. Go to Psalm 34 with me to begin with verse number 1. Psalm 34, verse number 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall, what's the next word? Continually be where? In my mouth. Everybody say my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Amen? Hallelujah. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces will never, let us say never, be ashamed. This poor man cried. That means to cry out, not boo-hooing. Okay? This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. I love this part. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Hallelujah. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Do you believe he's good? How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him, say these next four words with me. There is no want. Amen. Hallelujah. Say no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want. Say it with me. Of any good thing. Say it again. Of any good thing. Hallelujah. I used to always be confused when I was younger because Psalm 23 is probably the most quoted psalm in the Bible. Is it not? Everybody says it's their favorite. You hear it at funerals, at weddings. You know, everybody knows Psalm 23. And it used to bother me because I didn't understand it as a kid. I used to think it was like this. The Lord is my shepherd and I don't want him. For the longest time I thought, that is so curious. Why do people like that? The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. And I thought it like, I will not want the shepherd who is my Lord. And I thought, this doesn't make any sense. And finally, I finally figured it out a couple of years ago. But no, I'm just kidding. Yeah. But he doesn't want you to lack in any good thing. Amen? Now, there's two things in this passage I want to bring your attention this morning. Is number one, we need to recognize the significance of him being Lord. Because if he's Lord, it changes everything. Amen? There's a significance in that. But secondly, we understand that as Lord, he's to be magnified. And that is on us to do that. It's one thing to believe that he needs to be Lord in my marriage, my family, my physical body, my finances, my life. Amen? In our church, he needs to be Lord, but he needs to be magnified in that place. And that's really what this psalm is all about. It's called preeminence. It's a word that's used in the New Testament in the King James. It's called that he become preeminent in everything. And it literally means that he's first place. Like you look at that area of a man or woman's life as a believer, and if he's Lord, he's not just Lord of some, he's Lord of all. And he's Lord of all things. And so the Lord wants us to see that. How many know, we tend in the Western world especially, I'm ashamed to say, we tend to live our lives spiritually categorically. Like that area doesn't require me to be spiritual or tuned in to God or even aware of Jesus in that area of my life. That's kind of like my play area. And we don't need to live our lives that way because he wants to be Lord of all. Amen? Oh, magnify the Lord. And how many know if you magnify something, it's bigger than anything else around it. And the only way we do that is with the words of our praises and lifting him up. And that which leads to the second thing, which is the proclamation of his goodness. Amen? The Bible says we're to give no ground to the enemy. Give him no ground. He's to be Lord of all. Amen? And the praise and proclamation is so important. Sometimes it's just the praise, just thanking him for all of his goodness and greatness. Other times it's a proclamation of what the Word of God says. Amen? And as we proclaim that, we're causing him to be Lord. The Bible says we're to what? Decree a thing, and it will be established. To decree a thing. Here, now we need to understand this because for the longest time, I used to confusingly, in a way, speak of decreeing as only speaking. And it's really not that. But let me finish and I'll help you understand it. Years ago, I heard Tim Sheets preach this, and he actually shared some of it at Freedom Gate way back when we were at the museum. We had the honor of having that brother preach at our church when we were just starting out. And he shared about how a king, what a king would do, a king will make a decree. And, you know, his scribes will write that decree down. And then he has a ring, it's like a signet ring. And then he puts his seal, his mark, on that decree, and they seal it. But that's not the end of it. It's not the end of it. Then he gives the decree to what they call criers. And these were men who would go out into all of the kingdom, to every mountain, every high place, stand, and they would proclaim the decree of the Lord. The psalmist said, I will tell the decree of the Lord. Today you are my son, I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give the nations as your inheritance. That's a decree of the Lord, the nations. Are y'all with me? So when you decree something, and Brother Tim, he quoted a verse, and I'm going to quote it to you in a moment, out of another translation, and I begin to realize that really helps us understand it better. Because it's not a word we use. Well, like Rick decreed that. No, Rick decided. That's how we would say it in our vernacular today. He just made a decision. That's what we're going to do. Right? But it does bring with it more than just deciding. It brings with it almost a finality. That this is immovable. This is not going to change. This is what we have decreed. Does it make sense, everybody? Everybody see where I'm going somewhere with this? Now, go with me to the verse in Job that we quote a lot. Job 22, verse 26. For then you will delight in the Almighty and lift up your face to God, and you will pray to him, and he will hear you, and you will pay your vows. You will also, as I say it, decree a thing, and it shall be what? Established for you. So if you don't make a decision, you can't expect things to be established. Are y'all with me? And light will shine on your ways. And when you are cast down, get this now. You can put, you know what you can put there? When you are under oppression or attack. Amen? You will what? If I say it, you will speak. With what? Confidence. Amen? And the humble person, he will say it. How many know you can speak what looks like confidence and it can be arrogance? But when you speak with confidence in the Lord and the decrees of the Lord. Decrees are written decisions or their verdicts or their judgments that need to be proclaimed. Now, the translation that Tim quoted from was the English Standard Version. And here's what it said for decree. It said, you will decide on a matter. Did y'all catch that last week? You will decide on a matter. Hang on, we need to be decisive people. Amen? According to the Word of God. Let's say you get an evil report. Well, it's my prerogative to make a decision on the matter according to not the evil report, but according to the report of the Lord. Amen? And so I make a decree. Me and my household, we're going to serve God, and this is what we believe. Are y'all with me? And you make a decree with that, And then what you do when you feel the oppression coming, or it seems to be in the face of your decree, is you begin to magnify the Lord. You magnify the promise. You magnify what God has done and who He is in your life. And it causes the enemy to get down to size. Amen? Hallelujah. You still there? Now let me share more with you on this. You will decide on the matter. So no matter what comes against our lives, we need to first make sure. I don't care what weapon is forming against you. We need to decide on the matter. Amen? According to the Word of God, the truth, the respect for the promises of God. Now, I've shared with you before, when Abraham was really within a year of having the miracle of Isaac come, the Bible says in Romans that he was contemplating his situation. He's old. His wife is barren. She's old too. Never have had a baby. And yet, he contemplated. How many know contemplating your situation is not a bad thing? We don't need to be a clueless people. If you've got an issue or a problem, you need to face it. But here's the thing. You can't look at the problem. If you look, how many know, if all you do is contemplate, you are magnifying the problem, and you're not magnifying the Lordship of Jesus over that problem. Amen? How many know anything? It could be, how many know, physical issue in your body could become obsessive to you, where it becomes your identity. Right? Because that's all you're thinking about. Amen? Y'all with me? I really felt like the Lord wanted me to share this with you today to kind of dovetail on some things that Brother Tim brought to us last week about this, because it was so resonant in my heart. Now I want to go to that passage in Romans that tells us how Abraham moved on to getting established in his faith. Let's look at Romans 4. Look at with me at verse number 19. Romans 4, verse number 19. Without becoming weak in faith, Abraham contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. What's the next word? Yet. Everybody say yet. With respect for the promise of God. I mean, sometimes, okay, what you're going through, or what pain you're in, or what distress you're in, respect the promise of God. Amen? Are y'all with me? With respect for the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but what? Grew strong in faith. Anybody want to grow strong in faith? Doing what? Giving glory to God. Magnifying the Lord. You will not grow strong in faith murmuring and complaining. Amen? I wish the Bible didn't tell us to be patient and have endurance, but it did. Amen? So you might as well get over it and learn how to magnify the Lord. And when you do, you will grow strong in your faith. Y'all receive that? He decided, what Abraham did, he contemplated his body. He contemplated his wife's body, but he decided on a matter. My name is Abraham. I am the father of many nations. He has made me the father of many nations. And he decreed it. Amen? And he grew strong in his faith, glorifying God through it all. And look what it says, being fully assured. How many of you love it when you get to that place where you are fully assured? Amen? We don't always get to do it. We start magnifying the wrong thing. And we don't really get to that. But we decreed something faithfully. But we didn't get to the place of full assurance. I like that. That's when you, I don't care what, come what may, I believe God. Anybody with me? God wants us to grow into that. Every one of us. Amen? Hallelujah. He's also what? The God who promised is also what? Able to perform. Therefore, it was credited to him as righteousness. You know, for me, the biggest thing is learning how to truly be quick to hear and slow and careful about how I speak. Because if I speak before I hear, I'm going to say something stupid. Come on. If I speak before I hear. So if I'm going to be quick about anything, I'm going to be leaning into God. Why? Because faith comes by hearing. And if I'm hearing what the Lord says, I don't care if I'm looking in the scripture, listening to a video, I call a brother, somebody prays for me, and they speak a word over me, faith comes, and now I'm able to speak. Then I want to make sure I speak the word of God. Amen? I want to speak things that magnify the Lamb. Amen? The Lord of God in my life. Hallelujah. Y'all get that? But can I tell you, sometimes we contemplate, and we pray, and we decree a thing, and we agree together, and then we just don't say anything. Say something. Amen? Hello? Say something. You know, open your mouth and begin to magnify the Lord in that situation. You don't have to be a theologian to have 100 verses memorized. Just speak the truth. Amen? Isaiah 59, look there with me. 59, look at verse 21. As for me, now listen to God's covenant with us. This is powerful. This is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit which is upon you and my words which I have put in your pastor's mouth. Now what does it say? My words which I have put in your mouth, say my mouth, shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your offspring, nor from the mouth of your offspring's offspring. In other words, this is the way it always should be with the covenant. Amen? The word of God in our mouth, and what does the Lord say? From now and forever. This is the way it works. Everybody say, this is the way it works. In every situation that you and I face, whether we face it as a church or we face it individually, we have a choice. We have a choice to decide on the matter. Amen? Because I am in covenant and you are in covenant with the Lord God the Almighty. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be magnified. And I want to live with full respect for the promises of God. Because the Lord told me in this book, one of the best promises is the promise about the promises. Which says this, all of them are yes in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? And so I want to magnify Him in my life. Anybody with me? Come on now. All the promises are yes. When you say amen, this is a little faith tune up. And I've taught this to many of you before many times. But amen is just, you're just saying, so be it. It's mine. Like, what did Mary say? Be it unto me according to the word. See, when you say that and you're amening the promises of God and you're lifting up, magnifying the promises of God, the enemy in the situation is getting really small. This ain't going to go right necessarily right away, but I tell you what, it diminishes the enemy. And you live in a peace and a victory. And you come to that place like Abraham of the full assurance of faith. You know, when they changed Abraham's name from Abram to Abraham, when his name changed, it said that Abraham, within a year, Isaac was born. That's how powerful it is when you begin to magnify the word of the Lord in a situation. Hallelujah. Now, going to what Tim shared, the context for that verse in Jeremiah was that the Lord, if you remember, he told Jeremiah when he was just a young man, a teenager, he said to Jeremiah, he said, before I formed you in my mother's womb, I knew you. And then he goes on, and he took it further than that. He said, before you were born, I consecrated you. Think about that. And I've appointed you a prophet to the nations. How many of you know, if we knew just what God had planned for us, we would all fall on our face and humble ourselves and go, oh, Lord. You know, what has he really planned for us? And you know, he protested, oh, Lord, I'm just a youth. And he said, do not say that I am just a youth. And then he tells him what it's going to be. And that's the word that Brother Tim gave to us last week. Let's look at it together in Jeremiah 1, verse number 9. The Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth. Say, my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words where, beloved? Where? In your mouth. And then he says, see. Before I read the next part of that verse, this resonated with me, and I almost had to go to another room and write some things down from the Holy Spirit. Not that what he was saying wasn't good. It was just, have you ever had that happen in the middle of a word? Somebody just quotes it, and all of a sudden you get a download of revelation. And the Lord told me, the reason a lot of times we're not seeing, get this, the reason we're not seeing prophetically is because we don't have his word in our mouth. When his word is in your mouth, you can begin to get revelation. It paves the way. It establishes a thing. And what happens? Light shines on your way. What is light? I've told you this. It's the opposite of blindness. It's being able to see. Wow! Decree a thing and you'll see. Light will shine on your way. Are y'all getting this? It's all through the word. I give you several different examples and they all say the same thing. So he says, see, what does he say there? I'm sorry, see, I have appointed you, what day? This day. Everybody say this day. See, you can decide a matter right now. You can decide a matter when the bad news comes on Tuesday afternoon. You can say, I decree a thing right now in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen? And look what he says, over kingdoms. Now obviously he's speaking in to the demonic realms, okay? To what? Pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow. Amen? How many of you know if there's something demonic there, it's got to go. There's warfare. It's got to go. But look what else we do with our words. We build and we plant. Amen? Because your words are seeds. Trouble is sometimes we don't like the weeds in our garden, but they came because of our words. Hello? Look at verse 11. The word of the Lord came to me saying, What do you see, Jeremiah? And he said, I see the rod of an almond tree. And then the Lord said to me, get this, you have seen well. If I stop. How many of you would like that to be said about you?
Amen. Yes.
I would love for the Lord to say to me, Rick, my son, you see well.
Amen.
Amen? I don't want to hear, you don't ever see anything. You're about as prophetic as a lamppost. You don't see anything. I mean, you want to see well. Amen? Amen? I want to see good. Amen? You and I talked about that a few weeks ago over lunch. We're talking about, I want to see. I want to be able to see. You have seen well. Get this. For I am watching over my what? Here it is. There's the connection. I'm watching over my word to perform it. So not only is that word in your mouth being brought forth because you spoke it, it's also causing you to see it.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Isn't that good?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Let's take up another offering. Hallelujah. And now, in getting saved, we're instructed to what? Believe in our heart. Amen. That Jesus died for us and the Father raised him. But what else are we instructed to do? We're to confess with our mouth what? That Jesus is Lord. You're to declare his lordship over your life. Amen? Hallelujah. A lot of people believe they're forgiven, but they've not made him Lord. Hallelujah. Come on now. Hallelujah. And that's how you receive salvation. How many know salvation is more than where you're going to go when you die? The word for being saved, for sozo, means forgiveness. It means new life. It means freedom and deliverance. It means healing. Amen? That's all the beautiful aspects of the salvation of the Lord. But it's received in the same way. Not just your initial conversion to Christ. Everything you receive from God is received in this way. Let me show it to you. Look at Romans 10, verse 10. You know this verse, but I want you to see it today. For with the heart, a person believes, resulting in what?
Righteousness.
Everybody look at me. What happens when you believe? Righteousness. It brings you into a right standing with God. Amen? Because you believe it. You believe his word. You believe the truth, right? You believe I am a new creation in him. I am free. And you stand in a place called righteousness. Amen? Yeah, I got that. But what else do we do? With the mouth. Did I say the mouth? He confesses. And what's the result there? Salvation.
Amen.
Amen? Just regarding something like healing. You're certainly not going to receive your healing saying you're sick. You're going to receive your healing declaring the word of the Lord. Amen? You're declaring the lordship even over a pertinent situation that may be in your face right now. I don't know what it means. I get attacks all the time. And yet I'm learning more and more how that's how you result. How many like that kind of result? Righteousness and salvation. Hallelujah. We establish his lordship in everything when we magnify him. Now hear my heart. Yes, we need to do it together. But we also need to learn how to do it in our everyday life. Amen. Did you agree? Because, you know, a lot of times we kind of almost go on a spiritual high after church. We've been magnifying the Lord and hearing the word of the Lord. We've been praying together and praying for one another, shouting hallelujah. I mean, Jesus is ruling and reigning, and then we go get in our car. Right? Yeah. And can we magnify him? You know what? When your team loses, Jesus doesn't slip off the throne and get in depression. He is still Lord. Y'all with me? Hallelujah. Had to say that. Some people here have teams that are really lousy. But anyway. Say, move on, Pastor Rick. All right. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is what? Get this out. The Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, I shall not want. I shall not be found in wanting. Amen? You getting that? So if the Lord is my shepherd, then my shepherd is my Lord. Are y'all getting where I'm going? So my shepherd, that loving shepherd also is my Lord. Hallelujah. And when anything threatens his lordship, what do? I magnify my Lord. Amen? Does this help you today? Because sometimes the hardest time to do, come on guys, when everything seems to be hunky-dory in your life, it's not hard to shout, dance, sing, run around the room. But when you're going through something, that's the test of whether or not is he really Lord. Amen? And I'm telling you, I believe that song brings forth a key to victory for us there. There's a lot of keys in the kingdom. We need to learn how to access them. Amen? Here's the thing, when there's an absence of lordship, we are found wanting. We're found in lack, are we not? Because there's an absence of lordship in that area of our lives. And can I tell you this? The absence of his lordship is the reason, it's the root of many ongoing issues. Can we be honest? When he's not the Lord there, that's the root. I'm not saying we all go through things. But when something, you never get the victory over something, then I tell you at the root of it, he's not Lord there. He's not Lord. I tell you, he's Lord over that addiction. He's Lord over that issue. See what I'm saying? Because I've seen other people, they don't go through anything except repent. And they so fully understand he was the Lord of their lives, and they so understand what they're believing for. I'm saying, I don't know about you, but I want to make sure there's not a nook or cranny in my heart or life. Anybody with me? That doesn't have Jesus ruling and reigning over it. Amen? And that's the way we need to live. Hallelujah? Glory be to God. You can do that when you open up your bank account, look online at your account. You can declare the lordship of Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Without his lordship, without his preeminence in any area, the problem becomes magnified. And again, as I said earlier, we almost take on the identity of our issues, and we're supposed to be taking on the identity of Christ. Amen? It's supposed to be this. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ Jesus, my Lord, who lives through me. The life that I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and died for me to become the Lord of me. Amen? And that he will receive all the glory for that. Without his lordship and his preeminence, he's not got first place. And we can actually find ourselves with a false identity. And that's what we need to watch against right now as we go forward. Hallelujah. Don't allow your struggle or your issue to become your identity. Amen? Don't allow it. The only way you can do that is start to magnify the reality of truth in your life. We all agree that the Lord has defeated the enemy. We all agree. Okay, so if he's Lord there, guess what? The enemy's defeated there. He's not, you know, running roughshod over me. The enemy is the source of our problems. I hope you'll always remember that. The Lord is not your problem. He's your way maker. Amen? Hello? You believe that? He's not your problem. He's not your problem. The enemy has been described as a thief. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. There's no truth in the enemy. Are you with me? So whenever I see anything that is in contrast to Jesus and love and truth, then I know where it's coming from. The thief who's come with only one thing. Here's his M.O. Steal, kill, destroy. Period. So I'll never blame that on God. Amen? Hallelujah. So David said, the Lord, my Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah. So I won't be in want. I won't be lacking in my life. Again, let's make sure his lordship is there. And can I tell you this? Not only is he the shepherd and the Lord, he is the apostle and the high priest of your confession. Amen? That's Hebrews 3:1, by the way. Now, Jesus dealt with this because how many of you know if you don't believe, you can't go anywhere? We all agree believing is of the utmost. You got to believe. But Jesus dealt with more than just believing. I want you to look with me at a verse in Matthew 12 with me. Verse number 33. Matthew 12, 33. Look what Jesus says. He said, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. And then he says something here. You brood of vipers. Wow. How can you being evil speak what is good? Now how many of you know nobody listening to him was born again? He had not made the sacrifice for them. Amen? They were not able to do this yet. But Jesus makes sure this is in the Word of God for us. So he says what? If you're evil, how can you speak what is good? For the mouth speaks. Everybody say the mouth speaks. Out of what? What fills the heart? How many of you ever said something and you did this? You go, I don't know where that came from. Because we're embarrassed, right? We said something we shouldn't have said and we're like, no! It's even harder when you're a pastor. If somebody hears you. But I know, you know where it comes from. It was just there and the pressure brought it out. How many like to get to a place in your life where the pressure actually brings out the magnification of God? Amen? Well, guess what the problem is? Whatever you're treasuring. Because your tongue is the barometer of what's been treasured in your heart. Because see, you can fill your mind with scriptures all day long, but it's got to be something you treasure. When you treasure something, it's precious to you. Amen? It changes the way you think and you speak differently. Amen? Anybody want that transformation? See, that causes us under pressure even to bring out good things. Look what Jesus goes on to say. Look what he says. The good man out of his what? Good treasure brings forth what is good. And the evil man out of his evil treasure, what is evil? By the way, how do we bring it forth? With the tongue. Right? So, get this. What is treasured in my life, in your life, is what comes out of your mouth. Amen? Amen? It literally will just become a response. Oh, I want to be there. Anybody want to be there with me? I'm better at it than I ever used to be, but I've got a long way to go. I'm going to so treasure God's word that that's all that comes out of me when you push me and poke me. When you poke the bear, he doesn't growl anymore. Amen? The word comes out. Amen? Are y'all okay? But I tell you that every careless word, how many of y'all say, well, I didn't mean it. Come on, get those hands up. Come on, I didn't mean to say that. I was having a bad day. My back was hurting. If you'd have known what that woman said to me. Is she with the kids today? Okay. Are y'all with me? I know we are. I need to move on. So I can enjoy length of days. But look what Jesus said about those careless words, everybody. Come on. I tell you, every careless word that people speak, they will give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. First time I read that, I didn't understand the context. I almost fell apart. Because I thought, oh boy, judgment day is going to be really bad. I mean, I'm going to get raked over the coals. How many are glad for the blood and forgiveness and cleansing? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And by the way, everybody look at me. If you say something stupid and you will, cancel it out in the name of Jesus. Seriously. Plead the blood over it. Cancel it out. If you offended someone, repent. Amen. And get it under the blood and move on. Amen. Hallelujah. Because the accuser is just that, an accuser. Amen. All right. Where was I? For they shall give an account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Now, the first time I shared this, I had a guy that was really challenged by this, because I really felt the Holy Spirit helped me understand it. Because I always used to think the day of judgment meant we're all going to stand before the Lord and he's going to talk about what we talked about. And that's not what this means. Now get this. In a time of judgment, in a time of conflict, in a time when a matter needs to be decided. Are y'all getting this? When darkness is clashing with light, in a time of judgment, your words are going to determine your justification or your condemnation.
Think about it.
Let's use it again. The doctor walks in, throws something in your lap, and says, "This is who you are." That's the time, that's judgment time. That's time to decide a matter. Yes, but I am the healed of the Lord. See what I'm saying? I'm not picking on that one thing. This can work with any promise in any situation. When something comes into your life, there's a judgment getting ready to take place. A verdict needs to happen. And you need to decree, you need to set the verdict of the Lord down. Are you all with me? In that situation, that helped you. Because see, what happens is a lot of times our words have been the very thing the enemy has used. Because see, death and life, blessing and cursing, is in the power of the tongue. So no matter how much God loves you and has blessed you and wants you to walk in that blessing, your tongue has to get in line. Yes. But the secret is not just the discipline of your tongue, because the Bible says no man can tame it. Yeah. And we've all learned, no man can tame it. So I've got to change heart condition. So that what I spout is glorious. Amen? Anybody with me? Please receive this today. Declare the verdict. Now go to Isaiah 51. I'm going to hurry. I thought this would be a short exhortation. Isaiah 51, verse 14. The exile will soon be set free. Everybody say free. And will not die in the dungeon. Y'all look at me and smile. You're not going to die in whatever situation you're in right now. Hello. Come on. Come on. Nor his bread be lacking. Hallelujah. For I am the Lord your God. Get this now. He stirs up the sea and the waves roar. The Lord of hosts, but literally means the Lord of an angelic army, is his name. Now get this now. Here it is again. It's all through the Word of God. I have put my words where? In your mouth, and have covered you. Whew. Come on now. It's another dimension. I mean, I love the part about, the other things we've talked about, being able to see. But look at this. I've covered you with the shadow of my hand to establish the heavens. Now, get this. The King James says to plant the heavens. Words are seeds, right? Right? He said, I put my word out to plant the heavens. What's in the prayer that we all speak all the time? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Right? We're planting the heavens into that. Are y'all seeing this? To found the earth and to say to Zion, you are my people. How many know all of that is true, and that's the will of God, but somebody's got to get that word in their mouth in order to plant it. Are y'all seeing this? It's the power of his words in our mouth. And again, sometimes it's to pluck up and to tear down and to remove. Amen? Amen? Sometimes things you got to clear the landscape. Amen? Hallelujah. If you're walking with Jesus, the breaker is going before you, and he's going to clear out your enemy.
Thank you, God.
And then you're going to plant. And you're going to establish some things in the kingdom of God. But we can't establish his lordship if we don't treasure this word in our heart. And every word that's spoken over you prophetically, even if it's not written here directly, if you know it's a word from the Lord, it's a good word, you need to, the Bible says, hold fast to that word. Amen? You ought to write it down. And every time there's a conflict, you go to it and say, you know what? It is written. You might say, well, you know what I love about that? Jesus didn't say, it is written in Isaiah 53. He didn't say that. He said it's written. He didn't give the address of it. The enemy knew. The enemy knows it's the word. So you might say, well, I don't know how to quote all that. All you got to do is be able to say, it is written. But he provides all of my needs according to his riches and glory. It is written that by his stripes I am healed. Are y'all with me? It is written that I have a peace that surpasses all understanding, no matter what I go through in my life. Amen? Y'all getting this? It is written. It's kind of like a garden. You don't like the weeds there. Let's be honest. Some of us, we sowed them. But go after them. Get them up. Amen? Uproot them. Hallelujah. I pray this when I pray as a covering over this church and over you. When I sense something going on, I sense an offense, or I sense some strife, or I feel like there's some witchcraft going on. Not, everybody relax. I'm not accusing you of being witches and warlocks. I'm just saying, when the enemy is at work. You know, it says in Revelation, in one of the churches, I think it was, can't remember which church he was warning, maybe Philadelphia. But anyway, he said, to the church there, he said, you have tolerated Jezebel. What God was upset with is they just learned to tolerate it. How do you know? If you tolerate it long enough, it'll become your identity. Amen? You can't be tolerating a spirit and then at the same time be honoring the Lord of glory. You can't do that. That's why you can't go wrong magnifying the Lord. Hallelujah. And he'll come show off in your situation. He loves to come show off. Hallelujah. I don't care if you don't have anything else to say but hallelujah. Start shouting hallelujah. Just what? Amen. The enemy don't like that word either. That's that word in every language that just exalts God in all of his majesty. Treasure his word because of it. Here's the thing. If we don't treasure the word, how can we possibly decide on a matter according to the word? If we're not treasuring the word in our heart, right? But also, again, if we don't treasure the word, how can we bring forth what is good in a due season and at a right time? Amen? Amen? How many of you have you ever been ministering to someone, or maybe somebody ministering to you, and you shared something you're going through, and they just gave you a word? Amen with me? And that word, interestingly, Jesus sent his word to the centurion servant. Remember that? Because you said, I'm going to come pray for him. And he said, no, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. He said, I'm a man under authority. And I have those under authority that are under me. And I say to this one, do it, and he does it. This one, come, and he comes. And I'm also a man under authority. I understand how authority works. And all you have to do, Master, is say the word, and my servant will be healed. And Jesus said, I haven't seen this kind of faith in all of Israel. It astounded Jesus that he understood. It's so simple, we don't see it. It's like not seeing the forest for the trees. And so Jesus said, be it done unto you. He didn't really say anything else. It was a centurion saying that. Get this now. This unborn again, unregenerated. something in another covenant and believed it for God, and Jesus honored it, and his servant was healed when he got home.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Bring forth the good treasure out of your heart. What are the keys of the kingdom, by the way? You shall bind what has been bound in heaven, and you shall loose what has been loosed in heaven, right? It's about forbidding or permitting. It's about calling for something or stopping something. That's what the keys of the kingdom are. I mean, that is all done with your words. I don't look at a situation and go,
"Ugh."
I don't look at a demonic stronghold and go, "Ugh." No, it's words. You hold with me. That's the way authority works. I mean, your boss can want you to leave the company, but he's got the authority to tell you to leave the company. Right? And guess what? He does it with words. He won't even pack your desk for you. I don't think. He might. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah. I love it when it says the humble will hear it and they'll rejoice. In Psalm 40, I think it's 40, 35 or 40. It's there, I promise. He said he put a new song in my mouth. A song of praise to my God. Many, get this, many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Because I sang my song that magnified my Lord. And he became their Lord. Hallelujah. It's not just about us. It's about the harvest. Amen. As we magnify the Lamb of God. Now, I want to read those verses in Psalm 34 to you out of the Passion. Are you ready? I just want you to hear it, okay? I'm not going to put it on the wall. Everybody ready? It's so good. It's so good. Lord, I'm bursting with joy over what you've done for me. Isn't that good? Bursting, it sounds like I've got something treasured within, right? My lips are full of perpetual praise. I'm boasting of you in all your works. So let all who are discouraged take heart. How many like to be an encouragement? Magnify the Lord. And you'll be an encouragement to others. Amen? Join me, everyone. Let's praise the Lord together. Let's make him famous. Let's make his name glorious to all. Listen to my testimony. I cried out to God in my distress, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. This is the best part. Gaze upon him. Join your life with his, and joy will come. Your faces will glisten with glory, and you'll never wear that shame face again.
Yes.
I felt an anointing when I said that. We'll never wear a shame face again. Come on. Amen. I want to glisten with glory. Amen. When I had nothing, desperate and defeated, I cried out to the Lord and he heard me, bringing his miracle deliverance when I needed it the most. The angel, get this, the angel of the Lord stooped down to listen as I prayed, encircling me, empowering me, and showing me how to escape. Anybody want to know the way out? Hello? He will do this for everyone who fears God. Now that means reverences God, okay? Hello? Drink deeply of the pleasures of this God. Experience for joy the joyous mercies he gives to all who turn to hide themselves in him. Worship in awe and wonder all of you who've been made holy. For all who fear him will feast with plenty. What did I say, plenty? Even the strong and the wealthy grow weak and hungry. But those who passionately pursue the Lord will never lack any good thing. The Lamb of God. Isn't that great? That was the first 10 verses of that psalm in the Passion Translation. They're good really in any translation. But here's my encouragement to all of you today and all of our friends watching. Let's be determined that come what may, when we contemplate what's going on, we're going to decree a thing. Amen? We're going to make a decision according to truth. Amen? And then because we're going to do it out of respect for the promises of God. Amen? And once you do that, it's a good thing. But we've got to also know how to go to the next thing. Your mouth should be filled with proclamation and praise. Continually. And we'll come to a place of full assurance. And the breakthrough will come even quicker. Because we're walking in that kind of faith. Amen? Don't magnify the problem by talking about it. Magnify the Lord. Amen? Susan and I are always keeping each other in check on that. Because we're talking about things that are going on, how we're going to deal with it, what do you think? Are we sharing something that maybe I didn't know and she didn't know? And we got to be careful. I said, but let's don't magnify the problem. Amen? Keep praise continually on your lips. Pray and cry out to the Lord, and He'll drive out all fear. Gaze on Him and join your life to Him. And guess what? You'll start to shine. Your face will shine. Amen? No more shame face. Say it. No more shame face. Amen? Hallelujah. Drink deeply of His pleasures. Experience Him. This is what He's calling us to. So, in closing, no matter what's going on in your life, decree a thing. Decide on the matter. Hallelujah. According to truth. And then just start magnifying the Lord. Lift Him up. When you're feeling bad or down, and we all go through it. It said, actually, when I feel downcast, my mouth will speak His praise. And we've got to learn to do that. Amen? Because your soul will try to pull you down. Your mind, little emotions will try to get you into the muddy grubs. Easy. We all battle it. Amen? And I'll tell you what, God gives us victory over that. Lift Him up, because He's already defeated our enemy. He is the Lord. I guess my favorite part is how the angels encamp around us. They encircle us. And I love that part about the angel of the Lord stoops down when I'm praying. It's in Psalm 103. I promise it's there. It's in Psalm 103. The same psalm where we say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits, right? And we start, it's a big rehearsal of all the beauty of God's salvation. A powerful psalm to memorize, by the way, and treasure in your heart. Because I tell you, when I treasure that in my heart, it comes out of my mouth in times of conflict. Or when my body's hurting, or something's going on, I immediately go, and I start to pull that out of my heart. You know what I mean? But as that psalm progresses, toward the end, it ends with the heavenly host. And He says, bless the Lord, all you angels of His. Get this. Created in might and power and strength to perform and carry out the voice of His word. The voice of His word. The Bible doesn't make angels move. Come on. You can throw Bibles all over your house. Right. In your car, your console, the backyard, on your bed. Come on. It's the voice of this book. Amen? It's the voice of the word. And get this. Angels get active when the word of God's coming out of your mouth. Amen? Otherwise, I don't remember who it was. One of the guys, one of the famous teachers, I don't know if it was Jerry Savelle or Kenneth Hagin or what, he said, I just saw a lot of angels in the church. They're kind of sitting up on the porch rail, kind of whistling Dixie there. Yeah, nobody's saying anything to activate them. Amen? To activate them. Because they carry out and perform the voice of God. See, they don't serve us. But He's their Lord and He's our Lord. We've got the same Lord. And so when that angel, remember what the angel said in Revelation to John? Because John tried to worship the angel. Y'all remember that? John bowed down before him and he said, don't do that. In other words, get up. Get up. Stop it. And look what he said. Look what he said. That's one way you can always know if it's an angel or a demon. Because an angel will not let you worship him. And he said, get up. He said, don't do that. He said, for we are your fellow servants. In other words, that means co-laborers. We're in this thing together. It's kind of like you guys are the Marines down in the jungle and we're the Air Force. Right? I mean, you know, we're in this thing together, guys. Come on. Don't be worshiping me. And he said this. We work with those who hold to the testimony of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That is Revelation 19:10. Go look at it sometime. Think about that. The testimony itself prophesies into your future and it gets the angels active. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's magnify the Lord. Amen? Treasure this word in your heart. Write it down. You got an issue in your life, and I say this to you, and I say this humbly to you, respectfully to you. If you've got a battle going on and you don't know a word to treasure and start to proclaim, call me. I'll give you 15. Amen? And you can just pick your favorites, man, and get with your wife or your spouse or whoever, get an agreement and say, we are deciding a matter today, for it is written. Amen? And then just start to exalt the Lord in that. Amen? Don't let the enemy become, you know, the big voice in your life. Praise silences the enemy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to heaven right now. We're just going to practice it right now. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. Let all that is within me bless the Lord my God. For Jesus, you are my Lord and my King, my Savior, my very present help in time of need. Take your Lordship in my life, in my family, in every situation. You are Lord of all, and I honor you this day. I bless you, for you have pardoned me of all my sins and iniquities. You have healed me of all sickness and disease and infirmities. You have redeemed my life out of the pit. You are my Passover lamb, and by your blood I am free from the enemy's hand. I praise you and I bless you, for you have crowned me with loving kindness and with compassion, and I will wear that crown toward others, to be loving and compassionate and merciful. I bless you, Lord, for you satisfy the desire of my mouth with good things. And you renew my youthfulness as the eagle. Oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory! Glory! Some of you, I'm telling you, just putting that in your mouth, it caused energy to come into your body. It caused activity of the kingdom realm to begin to penetrate your life. How many of you have ever done something like that? You felt it. You mentally felt it, physically, emotionally, spiritually. It's the kingdom of God coming. Amen? And we can walk in this every day. Amen? I bless you today in the name of Jesus. The Lord bless each one of you. The Lord keep you. The Lord, get that, the Lord makes his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto each of you and to grant you, no matter come what may, to grant you shalom. See it, shalom, peace in the name of Jesus. I pray one more thing for you, that you would know through experience the love of God that surpasses mere knowledge of his love. That you would experience it like never before. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! Wednesday night is prayer, right? And it's here. And next door, okay?